Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly. Got a very strange day today. We all sort of sleepy-ish, so it's actually sort of good because what I'm about to do is sort of in something I wrote actually to what I saw and see and hear basically on elements that are going to happen within the next coming year. I don't do this by the way it is. I don't really plan it. I know I've done this in the last couple years. Unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that I did see actually did come about with tsunamis and things like that. And, you know, Mississippi and a bunch of stuff. Anyway, I'm going to get into that. But there's just a couple announcements I would like to make. One in particular, for those who are not aware, in the Los Angeles area, and you don't even have to be necessarily in the Los Angeles area. I have been started since actually last Sunday doing readings, giving readings, and what I utilize are basically a Kabbalistic way of doing it, as well as a methodology within what they call soul cards, and basically I'm clairvoyant, clairaudience, so I utilize that. So those who would like to get a reading from me directly in that capacity, you can contact over at Psychic Eye Bookstore. Their phone number is 818-906-8263. And I will be there on Sundays, Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. On Sunday, I'm there from 11 to 4. And then on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I am there from 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. And so if you can't go be at the facility, it's in Sherman Oaks. I can and able to do phone readings. So feel free to contact there. They're really reasonable. And I'm just feel honored just to do this because it's my way of sort of giving back. They're very reasonably priced as far as what they do. So do give a call, and I'd be happy to do see what's going on in your particular lives and or what's around you. Anyway, the other things I was gonna—it's not really so much of an announcement. Something about I've come aware, it seems come aware of issues and things. Oh, I do have one other announcement. I forgot because next week I have a very very special guest. It's tentatively set. His name is Phil Koseski. You've probably seen him on my show various times, probably once a year or so. He is a real contactee of the Orions. There's a contact, is the Orion alien, extraterrestrial alien, whatever you want to call her. Her name is Abina, and he's been in contact directly. There's actually footage of his spaceship consistently flying about near his house and where he lives in upper New York. So he has coming back on because she has some more information that has been divulged. Seems to be a lot of the stuff that she has divulged to him has been coming out exactly what's been going on. So it's a show you really, really, really don't want to miss. And it's very interesting because things are coming to being, and I think more of a very positive way. And when I mean positive, it's always positive because one way or trip, we're moving along to the place we're supposed to be anyway. Now, what I'm going to divulge and go into is sort of weird because in a way I wrote this actually last Tuesday working on it in a way like it just pops out of me how I see it. So when I see the words that are coming out, it's basically the way they are in what I see, hear, feel, because that's basically what I utilize. At the same moment right now, I'm sort of like sort of in that in-between feeling right now itself. So you're actually catching me in a unique state of sort of, I don't want to like call it channeling, but in a way, it's sort of semi. But this here goes, because I am reading off to what I saw and, you know, and heard and feel, and this is just the way it is, and so it shall be or will not be. Things can always change. But what I see and what I hear and what I feel in this coming year, I see many people in white dancing within the streets. Yet I see there's going to be a confusion, a shock. I see confrontations. In this area, what I see is in particular in the Middle East. And yet, what I see substantially, a different course. People will be surprised. I see actually a new beginning within the Middle East. And surprisingly, not what people think it will be. I see a different peace coming within Israel and her neighbors. Many of the outsiders who are not too fond of Israel for whatever various reasons would not actually be too happy about it. But I see a new situation arising actually between Jordan and Israel, implementing a new change. In fact, they are going to be like partners in a new transition within the Middle East. A new partnership, a new revelation that's going to start unfolding. And it's going to be a renewed education amongst those people within the Middle East. There's going to be new education as far as understanding the brotherhood and not the hatred. Specifically right now, toward Jews in Israel, where it's been very marked that it is considered a norm for the hatred and education. And then on the other side will be also, there will be issues. So I see them, those two, very much implementing a new kind of peace. And then what's going to be interesting is I see them actually distancing outsiders from it. I see between both of them pushing away all the outsiders. That includes the United States. I see the European, telling that Europeans basically they're being pushed away. I see them all being pushed away, all the outside influences, including Arab countries, including the Arab the Arab League. They're not going to be happy. But for some reason, a new thing is manifesting. A new economic surge is going to happen between those two. That is going to be so paramount. It's literally going to change the status quo for those people who live there. And particularly amongst the Palestinians, Israelis, Jews in that area. I see the myth and the promises that were once told will be slowly dissolved. And I see a very joining of hands. I see, though, many of Islam and those who hate Israel will still be yet so confused. There'll be also anger at the same time toward Jordan. They'll feel betrayal. But there is no betrayal. It's what is meant to be for these people. I see a joy and a peace amongst them. But within the U.S., I say they will be telling Europe no. I see the U.S., they will tell them no. And when this happens, the Oslo will be dissolved. And I see Jordan and Israel shaking hands. And I see, again, a new Middle East. I see within Syria still a plethora of blood and turmoil. I see turmoil and confusion on Iran on a surge that has never been seen since 1979 reestablish itself. It'll make the Green Movement look small. I see women, thousands upon thousands, in every street, whether it's in Tehran or whatever, will be marching in the streets. I see women of Iran leading the force more than ever before. I see Iranian women in thousands, removing their chadors, removing their chains, setting a new beginning. I see the beginning and the end of families of their structural control of the Middle East. I see the dissolutions of the Saudis, the Kuwaitis. I see the royalties, the bloodlines being in shock. I see their dissolution happening before their eyes. As much as they thought they had all things in control, there is no control. I see within Lebanon the tearing down of hate and the divide. I see people rising up against a certain element carrying the yellow banners running for their lives. I see religious turmoil within the Middle East. I see mosques, mullahs, imams in fear for their own very lives running rampant. I see people questioning them and not in fear for the first time in generations of generations of generations in the Middle East. I see Muslims now feeling who what Allah is and questioning the faith that has been proposed to them, a faith based upon fear. And now they've realized we are all brothers. They have re-enlightened themselves out of nowhere. I see and hear voices of jubilation and freedom within their breath, as if for the first time they breathe, feeling free and able to think for themselves, without any illusions of hate or prejudices. I see and I feel, though, a clash of blood, though, surging around the pyramids. I see a loosened challenge of views. I see old religions in turmoil and chaos for food within around the pyramids. And yet, I see Jordan and Israel uniting. I see Tunisia uniting finally as brothers with joining hands with Jordan and Israel. I see Iraq, blood and division, brother against brother, dividing her again and again. I see Europe filled to the brim. I see challenges upon the Vatican like never before. I see people at buildings, government buildings, fires, bottles, stones. I see economic panic throughout Europe. I see statues of queens and kings being destroyed, dismantled, pulled down by ropes and cords. I see the royalties of hiding. I see the fears of their plans not unfolding like never before. In Europe, I see banks and companies in their challenge like never, ever before. In their own dissolution, in their own illusion. I see a Europe of violence between one to another. I see within Italy a chaos, a frantic, not knowing what to do, the fear of the unknown. I see France in turmoil, Paris, fires, buildings on being burnt. I see people throwing rocks and bottles. I see the EU on its very knees of economical collapse. I see those in power seriously afraid. I see out of the fire, though, out of the ash, out of the smoke, out of the clearing, a sudden changing of Europe. Out of the confusion comes amongst the new. I see movements, though, of people leaving back to their old. I see people of new coming, though, within the new. I see Russia becoming of old. I see Russia changing and the chaos within, all trying to grab hold and maintaining their order. I see Russia and Eastern Europe, though, becoming a new breadbasket and thriving and literally feeding Europe. I see movements of people, this time from west to east. I see in Asia a change with the change of gender authority. I see a woman on the rise from Thailand to Burma. I see women on the rise in India. I see women on the rise in Japan, in China, Cambodia, Philippines, Indonesia. I see the rise of women of the East. I see the women of Thai, Vietnam, Cambodia, all rising. I see new changes of their views. Their self-esteem, their self-worth has opened up. And these are thriving societies become anew. I see a new peace and a calm within Eastern Asia like never before. And yet, with all the calmness, all the beauty, everything is going as if it's all very tranquil, all utopian. I see yet a very challenge in itself. A challenge of water, a challenge of earthquake, a challenge of more. I see Japan and yet China out of a natural disasters become ever close good neighbors, joining hands first times and evers. I see rivers though running mad and crazy within China, overflowing. I see dams breaking apart. I see disasters. I see thousands homeless and in shelters. I see Japan with water crushing from the sky. I see people out of these disasters, though, become again one. I see humanity of these people with tears, hurt, and yet joy. I feel their love and compassion will surface as a beacon amongst humanity. A beacon to show that out of the hardships comes brotherhood, sisterhood, that we are all really one and the same. I see the Hopi prophecy coming about within the Far East in the new surge of the fifth world coming to be. I see within the U.S. a lot of pissed off Americans, anger, frustration like never before. Not since the days of the Depression. Not since the days of Vietnam. I see a change, a great change. Because for the first time in history, I see Americans having the bravery of 1776. I see the demise of both parties, both Republicans and Democrats. And I see a rebirth, a new rise within America, a birth toward a new change, not a hope of change. And because of this, a new surfacing arises. I see new energy being pushed. I see new innovation being pushed. I see unparalleled findings within America that will open and be a beacon toward the world, a change that will permanently affect economics and status quo. I see the world looking upon America as a not a beacon of hope, but a threshold of faith. I see Americans finding their disclosed and the hidden truths of the world and disclosing these throughout the world. I see Americans leading as a beacon of a new renaissance. I see that a tolerance and brotherhood that they will be coming more and more amongst themselves as a disease that is so good, that is so contagious, it is like wildfires. Yet, I see there will be those who wish the old and maintain the status quo to be given. But their status quo will dissolve so fast, so swift. I see the end, the very end, in the beginning of the end of the Federal Reserve. I see the demise of the systems slowly changing, new ideologies, new systems emerge. I see the beginning to the end of the old guard I see the IRS being questioned and rechanged, restructured, and specifically regarding to income tax. I see Americans struggling with their beliefs, whether it be church, synagogue, or mosque, questioning and questioning. I see out of the South a new surge, a questioning of values, a split at first, but at the same moment, a sudden rise. I see those who will call those who are new and with a new understanding evil and of demons. But the truth will unfold before their very eyes. What is truthful, what was thought to be good, is actually evil. I see the one-eyed order falling like Babel. I see the family of order at the very beginning of its end. The bloodlines will dissemble from London to Washington to Mecca to Beijing to India to Paris, Madrid to Morocco. I see all the families dissolving, losing their control. It will be a place upon history as this unfolds. And this will be a slow dissolution, like never before. I see within Latin America, I see an event so paramount, so unraveling, that it will change humanity almost at the scene itself. I see they will appear as they did 20,000 years ago. I see those of the cross calling them demons, but their calls will be hollow, and only malicious rants will be yield but a blur, because the truth will be known for what they are and why they are here. I see many standing up to both left and right, looking at the left and right, being ignorant and malicious manipulation of both. I see Latin America ceasing their separation. I see a general slight movement continuing from all toward the four corners, returning to the mesas. I see a yell and then a wind. I see storms and yet rainbows amongst all Latin America. I see death and destruction, but then I see rebirth and raising of understanding. I see the walls of ignorance and self-doubt dissolve on all of Americas like never before. I see humanity opening the box of energy. I see the beginning of the end of poverty. I see the choices of earth changing those upon those, that this earth will be better. I see great changes. With changes comes pain, hurt. And yet, as I close my eyes, I then hear. I hear voices reaching into the hearts of all humanity, all mankind. I hear the thoughts of those who are around and that have been around and that will be around. I hear the whisper and the utterances within their minds, their hearts. And I hear the crying of humanity within the pain that it will go through. I hear the trembling of hearts for the fear of the unknown. And yet I will hear the prayers of their gods of all kinds. And out of their fear and out of their panic, yet I hear the joy of humanity very, very near. I hear the blessings and the voices of those who open the gates. I hear the blessings and the voices of those who cross and develop the bridge. And I feel the opening and hear the opening of the gates and the bridges. And then I hear the laughter and the tears. I feel the twisting and turning of earth. I feel the tides rise above. I feel the rains pour. I feel the heat where it only poured. and I feel the desert's becoming green like never before. I feel the rise of a new mountain within the ocean floors. I feel the sinking of a city and the shoreline of oil. I feel the oil river growing wider and wider, separating into the mass, into two mass. I feel the serenity in many of the cities. I feel a deep serenity with it, where there are angels. And yet, I feel a massive confusion where there are apples. I feel there will be a new understanding and a new awakenings. I feel a disclosure being unfolding. I feel these disclosures are being given. I feel the secrets of the ancients are no longer secrets. I feel these secrets of the ancients will be awakened, and with time, history untold. As we unshaken, we will be shaken from our thoughts and our course. And as untold history be told, our eyes will further awaken. I feel the hearts of humanity. I feel the hearts of humanity will be in a new awakening, not only of us and against them, because they are not us or them, but the oneness of all the universe. That is the awakening. I feel the awakening is a process, and I feel within layerings that this will happen. And I feel within little teeny steps this will unfold. I don't see it being a utopia. I see it a change of momentum. From what once was a negative of momentum, will now be a positive of momentum. I feel the disease of a higher frequency of vibration cascading from one soul to the next. I feel this will be at first, but a trickle, a small little trickle, little by little. I feel this little trickle will become, but small wave. I feel the wave will turn into a wave, and then I feel, and you will feel as I feel, and we will all feel. Yet there will be choices made, but the river is indeed flowing. And I feel that many will let go and allow the river to take them towards to flow. And there will be many who will try to hold what was old, an illusion of the past, out of fear holding on to, well, they think is security. I feel their pain of change. I feel, though, the changes are there. They will be subtle, though, like a trickle amongst humanity. And yet the trickle will become a ripple, a small ripple. And as this ripple continues, this ripple will increase from ripple to wave. And from wave, it will be a tsunami. And at that time, it will fade. As it will no longer be as if we no longer are just on a linear time of feelings. We'll be feeling the hearts of humanity. I feel the hearts of humanity. I feel the cry and the pain and the fear. I feel the ignorance and the hate. Yet I feel the ever true love and compassion within the hearts of humanity. I feel as time nears, this will be a common, and where I feel the blessings of humanity near. I feel the changes at the greatest scale. I feel the changes of Earth in our solar system. I feel the changes of our beliefs and understanding. I feel it is only the very beginning, but then there was never a beginning. And yet there was, and it will be. I feel the love and the joy within children's hearts as they enter a new age of their destiny and understanding. And I feel and hear them. I feel and hear and see. This is what I see. I see the vision. I hear the laughter. I feel the joy of the universe. I feel the love of the universe amongst humanity. And I see, I hear, and I feel. I know most who see things out for what they are feeling these same feelings. I know people out there in whatever form may have questioned. I see things like in the Middle East or in Europe, sort of obvious to most and some not as much. I think if people were to step aside for a moment out of their fishbowl in their own small little daily lives and step out of the picture and look outside to within and look at humanity as if you were coming here on your own artificially and look at humanity on whole and see the core of the issues of our problems. Our problems have solutions. The solutions have been coming to us consistently over and over again. The earth is part of us and the universe is part of us. There is an endeavor of information consistently coming to us. We may filter or block it or want not to believe it, but it's happening. Earth, it is changing in its subtle ways. People could say, well, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, what's going to happen tomorrow? I mean, it's the same as yesterday, you know. Some people talk of the 2012 issue. I know a lot of people. 2012, well, they're coming back. They're coming to, you know, whatever. It's the extraterrestrial, the end of the world, beginning of the new age, blah, 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 blah. It is what it's supposed to be. And at this time, we are fortunate to be going to experience whatever happens it is going to be. And the experience that we're going to have is going to be what it is. Some things are going to be completely anticipated. And sometimes when you anticipate something, it's let down. Like if you're really expecting something to happen, then all of a sudden, God, didn't happen. I remember the 2000 thing when it was like Y2K and everybody got all worried and frantic and people were boarding up their houses because they let up an expectation. And well, expectations are led to mislead, and the universe does that because we do it to ourselves. You know, it's like often, oh, I can't wait to go vote, and all of a sudden we have an expectation and then we're let down. Oh, shit, I can't. Here we go again. And yet there are also images of fear constantly being placed upon us. I apologize. I forgot to turn off my phone. There is a multitude of things and events that are consistently happening of placing upon all people's fear. And this is not new, this is a pretty old issue. If you were to sit back, and this is sort of funny because I posted this on Facebook and a couple of people, we were talking about it, and you sit there and you just look at the, count the things of how many things are thrown at us to make us scared of something. Go just for one day, just think about, or not even count, just go every time something out there are trying to make you afraid of something. Think about it. I don't care whether it's politics, religion, or economics. Something is trying to make you be afraid. Afraid of economics, the debt ceiling. What's going to happen economically, the banks, the taxes, the economy, terrorism, war, prices going up. There's always something fear. They'll put a fear thing, like with extraterrestrials, they're coming to get you, blah, 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 there'll be movies. You put a fear of another situation, fear of politics. They're going to control you. You're not going to get anywhere. Or the fear that you have no choice in the matter. So you got to look at how many things have projected fear upon us as a humanity as well. First of all, is an illusion. It's hollow. It doesn't really, it's actually irrelevant. It's not even, it's our own illusion. And look on the other side of that. How many things do you see around you as opposite of fear as being projected upon you in our society, whether it's the commercials, bravery, courage. Love, joy, compassion. Anything of those at all, any of those accumulations of being the opposite. You know, it's different. No, most people don't, you know, how many don't receive all that information in the pot? We don't receive that consistently in any society. You can look in areas where it's more, it's extremely placed upon more and more. You can go from one country to another country and just feel the energy. If you become sensitive enough, you'll just see the very division. If you go to, like, I remember going to London and I saw the very hatred in there. People were like, well, I don't really notice it, because they got so used to the fear factor. They got so used to the hate. They got so used to the fear constantly being projected on them. They got so used to the hate, they don't even see their own hate. It's like if I went to certain places in the United States that they receive some very negative energy, they don't see it themselves. People usually don't see their own thing. And then when you show a mirror to them, the first thing is they'll be standoffish. You know, they'll pull back and not believe it. Or feeling, you know, what the hell is this? And another thing, a lot of people like to only hear what they want to see and hear. This I know is real common. They'll be very selective in information. What I do see because of that, this is like the old guard. People are wanting to be on one side or the other side. And if you disagree with them, then he says, you're not on my team. They have a team. You're either on the left team or the right team. You're either pro or con. I mean, and then there's been words that have been misused. Like peace activists. People don't even know what a peace activist is. Peace activist is somebody who's for peace. Somebody who's for humanity is for humanity. It does not mean being on pro this and anti this. That's not peace. Peace means trying to create a solution of peace. When there was peace activists, for example, when there was, I remember the Vietnam War, you know, peace activists, that was peace because they wanted a solution to get Americans out of Vietnam, not be in a war. That was peace. It was just getting to a resolution. If there was to be peace activists within, I'll give you an example, within the Middle East, for example, in Israel and the Palestinians, peace activists would be on both sides, not just Israeli side, or there should be a peace now group, let's say, of Palestinians. That would be a peace activist group joining hands, figuring a solution between both of them. I'm going on a little boat. Not marching, I hate Israel. That's not peace activists. And it's the same token, some people use anti-Palestinian is the same as being my side against your side. That's anti-peace. Either way, if you're pro and con, you know, that's not really peace. Words have been misplaced. And there is even things in history that I think are really disgusting that people have utilized within their own vocabulary placed on other situations that have no way relate. You cannot apply things that happen with Native Americans over to situations that happen in another place. You cannot apply what happens in Europe to America and vice versa. Every place is a little bit is very unique. You know, we're all souls of the same on a leaf, and we all look at different perspectives. We're all connected. We're all to oneness, right? Everybody says, oh, we're one, and it's true. We're all together in one. The thing is, we're all leaves. We're all just very unique leaves, and we have different views. And we have different experiences of these views. And how we relate to these experiences is sort of like the quasi type of thing. We're all though connected. But we all are still unique. We all have our own experiences. It's almost to the point of people probably have heard, I don't know if you are aware, like those out there who listen to quantum physics, the issue of what is the energy of being particle or wave, or both? Is it particle or is it wave? Well, it's sort of the same thing. That's how we are. We're one, but we're also individual. We're together, but then we all have our individuality. We're all individual souls, yet connected. And it's not really a duality, it's just a reality. I don't believe in a duality. I look at things of a symbiotic relationship. You know, it's like dark and light. I've heard people say, oh, there's nothing of dark and light. There's just one, there's none. Yes and no. You know, that could be true and not true. You can lock those in, because how would you know what light is if there wasn't dark? How would you know what dark is if there wasn't light? Someone told you? They're all related to each other. The yin and yang is a relationship. They're bonded together. The same thing, light and dark is bonded together. This is, I think, revelations of what's happening with in our world. We have circumstances we're coming together trying to figure out. The problem, the only issue we do have, and I'm getting back to it, is the issue of what I said earlier about the solution and the problem. And the problem and the issue and the problem and the solution are one and the same, is our feelings of disconnect. We have an issue of trying to figure out as a humanity how we are separated. We think of ourselves separated still, or most do. We look at things as separate. We look at ourselves separate from Earth and separate from our gods. We created this own illusion from generation to generation. In reality, it is an illusion. The only reality is that we do have different views and different feelings about things. The reality is we're actually infinitely connected to each other and to all things. If people had looked upon themselves and to each other as that, like, you're exactly connected to this other person, how could they actually hate that other person then? Because hating the other person is sort of hating yourself. But by telling that person that they're separate from that other one, they have no way of connecting to the other one, it allows them the illusion to have that illusionary feeling of hating somebody or projecting that hate, that lower vibrational frequency. as your vibration frequency increases, you become more understanding, because you're, what happens when your frequency goes up, your perception increases, and so you're able to perceive the realities of our universe much, much clearer. On a lower frequency, your aptitude for understanding things is a lot less. This is why it comes into effect of fear. Start talking in circles. Fear is a way of lowering your frequency. And by lowering your frequency, it makes you less aware of things around you, because your perception decreases. Removal of fear allows it to increase. This is why Earth is consistently throwing things in front of us. Earthquakes, calamity, you know, things that are really bad, because it's a test. It's throwing us in our face the fear, the illusion of fear. You know, if a hurricane or tornado just hit on top of your house and just swept your ass right off the ground, you wouldn't have time to have fear. The only ones who have fear are actually during the course of, whoa, what's going to happen to me? I'm being swept up and pulled away. Is it fear of the thing going to kill them? Now, it's not to say, oh, well, I'll just sit here because I'm not afraid because that tornado is going to yank me up to the sky. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not, if you're getting away from a tornado because you know it's coming after you, it's not because you're fear of it, because you just want to die. That's not fair. That's because, hey, you know what? If you saw a wall there in front and there's a door, would you sit there and run straight ahead, full force, stick your head right into the wall? No. You'd walk over and open the door. That's not fair. Just knowing that what choice you want to do. Well, the choice, I want to live, so I don't want to stay here getting a tornado souped and suck me up. So it's not about fear. See, all things and experiences that we do, including humanity in a whole, it's our reaction that's important. And how we envelop our reaction and how we reflect our action creates the lesson of that day. And this goes back to all the things, I guess, you know, all the stuff I was saying earlier. Like right now, I don't even remember most of the stuff I just said earlier about the, you know, feeling, connecting, and all that love stuff. I have to go back and actually listen, because most of the stuff just came out. I have certain points I wrote out that I had feelings, and now I just popped it right out. And I have to go back and now re-listen to it myself. And nobody walks on water. Nobody is perfect. If we are perfect, we wouldn't be here. Some people I find are fear of things in relationships of people. Some people I know feel that they, when you see somebody of a higher frequency or a higher vibration and they happen to be on a lower frequency, they often inclined get very fearful of being with that person, because they're afraid that they will have to step up to the plate. Because when your frequency goes up, comes with it the understanding of responsibility. You're not walking away from the responsibility of it. You have to accept that responsibility. When you're on a lower frequency, you try to displace that responsibility, but yet, no matter what you do, you're going to be still responsible for your actions. You just don't want to feel responsible. So you try to pretend that you're not responsible for it, for your choices. A lot of people you will meet from time to time, even whether it's in relationships or friends or whatever, you'll often find people who on the same level as you, because at that particular time where you can talk and step up, they're on the same frequency. And then some people, you feel frustrated because they're like maybe harder to understand. They're a little bit, you feel like maybe they're arrogant, or maybe they know too much or know it all or whatever. Or, you know, it's difficult for you, so you don't want to be around them because it's harder. and you can't be yourself, maybe, or we think you can't be yourself. So that might be because that frequency you feel is different than yours. Or you feel better to go back down to a lower frequency because it's more, you know, easier to experience for yourself, you think, because you're more familiar with the familiarity of it. This happens around societies, you know, like I said, it feels more comfortable and easier to hate somebody than it is to love to some people. This is what they think. A lot of people think it's easier to look at them, not us. It's easier to see we're separate than us. It's easier to look at Earth as being separate than us part of it. See, if we looked ourselves as part of Earth, then we go, uh-oh, we really have to take responsibility from the Earth. It's not just Earth being separate and it's feeding us and the air and blah, blah, blah. If you realize how connected we are, it's like, you know, as much dirt and stuff we do to Earth, it's doing to ourselves, both physically and spiritually. If what we do to our neighbors is both what we do physically and spiritually, so it's basically what I'm saying is everything we have and do as a reflection. And what I'm getting to, a lot of the issues of fear right now, because I notice a lot of people have a fear of economics, a fear of this, a fear of that. I see that a plethora of that being projected from every aspect. And I also see that a lot of things are also being subjected to us to keep us busy so we don't think about what's real. Like, you'll notice in the news, they'll be pushing out things that are to keep you entertained. The Casey case, for example, the Anthony Casey thing. How long did that go? How many other murders and deaths occur besides this one? Things are thrown out and events for our distraction more than our education. Think about how many things are thrown out there to keep us entertained. I mean, it's cool. You go see a movie, go hear some music, friend to entertain, blah, blah, blah. That's cool. But oftentimes, when entertainment is being utilized for manipulation to keep you distracted from dealing with yourself, that's not cool. That's not good. If it's consistently done on a daily basis, a year goes by, 2 years goes by, 3 years go by, before you know it, you're 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, time goes by, and boom. What did you do in your life? How much change did you do? That's what you should look at yourself. It's not you going working 9 to 5 every day and then come home, the same thing every single day. What have you done from this year to next year to make yourself better? And that could be something so simple, something you can find all these things that try to make yourself, like, you know, be more open-eared, try to be a better listener, being, if somebody thinks you're more arrogant, try to be less arrogant, don't do things in a positive way as much as you possibly can. Little things that you can possibly change. Try to understand certain things, be more compassionate about things. But that's also things, what about yourself? Maybe believing in yourself, having more self-worth. Seeing things that you can accomplish. And then at the same token, find out that, you know, something that you enjoy, and you may not feel that, hey, I'm not that great of it, but so what, you enjoy doing it. You may not be the greatest guitar player or singer, but you enjoy doing it, so do it. You shouldn't have those fears of that. And this amplifies not just from the individual, but all society. How can we make changes? I saw that was sort of surprised me. They did a study, and I don't know if it's really true, but it sort of blew me away. is that there's a study that came out yesterday that it sort of shocked me, that I saw 60% of Palestinians voted, they believe in the Hadith submitted that's part of the Hamas charter, that it's okay to kill Jews. I was in shock. If that was true, then it is no wonder that they are getting what's being handed to them. There's no sympathy for that, then. If they're projecting those feelings and those thoughts of that much hate toward Jews, then there are no victims. Like I said, they're only volunteers. If you project hate so much toward a person or to another entity, you are not innocent of anything. On the contrary, you're going to receive exactly what's coming to you. Now, this is also an issue I see within the Middle East, but I still feel, which I saw, there was in the same token, was like 80% don't give a shit about a state. All they care is about their economics. Now that I can relate to by when I was there. I still have friends, a lot of friends there. When they close the doors, they really don't care. They're just people. They just want to live. And a lot of illusionary bullshit has been shoved down from outside upon both peoples, both Jews and Israelis and Palestinians and Muslims, Shiites, Sunnis. Everything's been coming from outside. And this happens also within Europe. You know, everything's from outside. People like to stick their noses in other stuff. Deal with your own house and fix your own house up and clean it up. Don't go running around trying to fix everybody else's house if your house stinks. I mean, I see Europeans telling other people to do, but man, your crap stinks just as bad. Fix your own house. When you start telling people whether they're a democracy or not, then what the hell is the EU? It certainly is a democracy. You gave up your sovereignty. You have no actual voice of voting. Even your political system of having a parliamentary system is not democracy. Voting for a party is not voting for a person. A party selects a team of people. What are you voting for? A team? That's not democracy. That system is not democracy. I mean, American system is more as a democracy out of a republic, because it votes for an individual. And even that is based upon, because there's a Bill of Rights. That's closer to having a truer democracy. But when I see around the world when they have parliamentary systems, I laugh. That is not a democracy. It ain't even going to get close to ever a democracy. It's a selection committee. Unfortunately, here in the States, we have the same problem as a selection committee, because only the rich become the politicians, and they're selected by the financiers of corporations and whatnot. But I'm getting back to the real issue of these are just all symptoms of ourselves. You know, that all that stuff that I'm talking about, the politics, blah, 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 even in Israel, and those are all symptoms. Symptoms of the disease of feeling separated. Symptoms of the disease and not realizing that we're all really connected in the reality. So when I did my whole spiel, whatever you call it, it is for what it is. You know, I don't judge what I said. I just did it so what I saw. And if it is at this time, it is to be. It's not to be, I'm trying to be, it's not being prophetic or whatever. It's just things that I see and I'm told to express. And they are what they are. And if they are, they are. So with that, I want to thank everyone out there for listening. For my long spiel here, long thing. This is sort of the first time I ever did this like this in a long time. Next week I have planned Tennelly Pan Phil Kaseski, which I look forward to. I have possibly another guest I'm trying to coordinate to have him on. We'll see, and which I'll about all deals with UFOs, and of course I'll be in between doing my own little feelings and things I have to say. But those out there who are in the LA area, do come on down, and if you want to get a reading from me directly, you know where to call. Anyway, it's at Psychic Bookstore. It's in Sherman Oaks. It's going to be a little hard to get over there. I know over Sunday it's going to be hard for me to get over there Sunday. So if you're in the Valley, it's all cool. You can always phone. I'm talking Pacific times when I was going to be there. You can always call 818-906-8263. That's a psychic bookstore. They have a website already listed for me. It's www.pebooks.com/SO/Andrew/. That's a direct link to me personally at their thing. Again, I will be there Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sunday from 11 to 4. Monday from 4 to 10. Wednesday from 4 to 10. Thursday from 4 to 10. So if you're all, come on down. And if you got any questions, feel free to contact me. And love and light. And have a glorious and blessed day. God bless you all. And take care. Thank you for listening.